Chapter 2. Men and women are different.
A woman died and found herself standing outside the pearly gates, and she was greeted by Saint Peter.
So she asked him, "Oh, is this place what I really think it is? It's so beautiful. Did I really make it to heaven?"
To which Saint Peter replied, "Yes, my dear, these are the gates to heaven.
But you must do one more thing before you can enter."
The woman was very excited and asked Saint Peter what she must do to pass through the gates. Saint Peter replied, "Spell a word."
"What word?" she asked. "Any word," answered Saint Peter. "It's your choice."
So the woman replied, "Okay.
The word I will spell is love.
L-O-V-E. Well, Saint Peter congratulated her on her good fortune to have made it to heaven, and asked her if she would mind taking his place at the gates for a few minutes while he went to the bathroom.
"I'd be honored," she said, "but what should I do if someone comes while you are gone?"
Saint Peter reassured her, and instructed the woman to simply have any newcomers to the pearly gates spell a word just as she had done. So the woman was left sitting in Saint Peter's chair and watching the beautiful angels soaring around her, when lo and behold, a man approaches the gates, and she can't believe her eyes, it's her husband.
"What happened?"
she cried, "why are you here?" Her husband stared at her for a moment, then said, "I was so upset when I left your funeral, I got into a car accident.
And now I am here. Did I really make it to heaven?" To which the woman replied, "Not yet. You must spell a word first." "What word?" he asked. The woman responded, "Czechoslovakia."
Now, how many of you guys would say that couple probably didn't have a very good marriage back on the earth? It's pretty easy to figure out, isn't it? And how many of you would agree that married life can sometimes be full of excitement as well as frustration? According to one humorist, in the first year of marriage, the man speaks and the woman listens. In the second year, the woman speaks and the man listens. And in the third year, the both speak and the neighbors listen. But seriously, is this the kind of relationship that God had in mind when he instituted marriage in the Garden of Eden? Folks, I'm here to tell you that the answer is absolutely not. Yes, Adam and Eve blew it in the Garden of Eden, and along with this, they also blew the chance of having a perfect marriage. But the good news is that even though you and I may never have a perfect marriage, that doesn't mean that we've got to resign ourselves to a life of personal pain and silent suffering. It just means that it's going to take some time and lots of work. Why? Because marriages aren't made in heaven, they're made right here on earth. Therefore, we're going to continue looking at the steps for having a marriage built to last. In the last chapter, we saw that the first step in building a lasting marriage was to acknowledge that marriage is under attack. There we saw that the reason why it's so hard to build a lasting marriage today is that it's being attacked by consumerism, constant busyness, feminism, and the sexual revolution. But people, that's not the only thing we need to be aware of. The second step in building a lasting marriage is to acknowledge that men and women are different.
Genesis 1:26-27. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his own image, in the image of God he created him, male and female he created them.
Now I'm sure many of us are very familiar with this passage of scripture, right? God created mankind as male and female. And you might be thinking, "Yeah, so what, big deal?" But people, I'm here to tell you, we desperately need to remind ourselves of this basic biblical truth. Why? Because we live in a society today that is frantically trying to remove any distinction between male and female. Our world is trying to achieve a false unity between men and women by creating a unisex. It's trying to make men more like women and women more like men. And because of this, marriages are suffering. Why? Because it'll never work. God made us male and female on purpose. And biblical unity is not achieved by trying to change each other, but by acknowledging and appreciating our God-given differences. So just what are some of the God-given differences between male and female that we desperately need to start appreciating? Great question. I'm glad you asked. The first God-given difference is that men and women are different physically. Men and women differ in every cell of their bodies. Women normally have a lower metabolism than men. The first finger of a woman's hand is usually longer than the third. With men, the reverse is true. Women's blood contains more water and tires more easily and is more prone to fainting. In brute strength, men are 50% stronger than women. Men have a greater infant mortality rate. Women mature faster than men. Women are chemically and biologically more adapted to childbearing and childrearing. Men are more chemically and biologically adapted to hunting and providing. Now you might be thinking, okay, so what? So we're physically different. What's the big deal? But people, the big deal is that this is the key to understanding why we behave like we do. For instance, because of our God-given physical differences, men are more into conquering things whereas women are more into cuddling things. Nothing wrong with it, it just means we're different. A case in point would be going to the grocery store. For men, we don't have a shopping list. We've got a battle plan. We're on a mission to get in the enemy's territory and get right back out. In fact, we'll even set our watches and if we beat our previous time, we celebrate by giving another guy a high five. The funny thing is, he'll understand why. But on the other hand, most women will take their time holding and cuddling various items, developing a relationship before a commitment can be made to purchase them. In fact, most women can spend hours in a mall and not buy anything. And for us men, this makes no sense. It drives us up a wall. How can you be surrounded by so much prey and not even shoot? And ladies, this is why when you ask us which blouse you should buy, the blue one or red one, we usually say, who cares, kill them both, bag them, and let's go conquer something else. Nothing wrong with it, it just means we're different. Another one of our God-given physical differences is that men tend to be visually superior, whereas women are visually sensitive. For instance, let's take driving in the car. The husband's driving the car, looking down the road, carefully surveying the scene, ready to conquer any troubles. But all of a sudden, his wife starts screaming, look out, look out. Watch out for that car. And the husband looks over and says, what are you talking about? It's 10 blocks down the road. But the reason why this is a common scenario is that a woman's peripheral vision is much more sensitive. Women in general are more easily scared and jolted by sudden movements. Nothing wrong with it, it just means we're different. Another one of our God-given physical differences is that men consider home a resting place whereas women consider it a nesting place. For instance, a husband comes home from a hard day of conquering things and all he wants to do is rest. But just as he sits down in the lazy boy, the wife comes over with jar marked in big bold letters, Honeydew. And why does she do this? Because it's time for honey to do some things for the nest. It's not resting time, it's nesting time. For many women, if the outside or the inside of the home isn't just right, they can't rest. Why? Because there's a mess in the nest. But for men, we could care less if it's a cardboard box or a castle. We're tired of conquering and we just want some rest. 5. Nothing wrong with it, it just means we're different. But people, physical differences are just the beginning. The second God-given difference is that men and women are different psychologically. Shortly after birth, girls are more sensitive to certain types of sounds and loud noises. Girls pay more attention to non-verbals and body language. Girls speak sooner, have larger vocabularies, rarely have speech defects, and exceed boys in language abilities. Boys are more visually oriented. Boys are more curious about exploring their environment. Women have a greater range of mood fluctuation. There are more men at both ends of the intellectual spectrum, with more male geniuses as well as more males who are mentally deficient. Now you might be thinking, okay, so what? So we're psychologically different. What's the big deal? But people, the big deal is that this is another key to understanding why we behave like we do. For instance, because of our God-given psychological differences, men tend to be compartmental thinkers, whereas women tend to be spatial thinkers. Now ladies, I know this might come as a surprise, but did you know that most of the time, we men only use half of our brain? Shocker, isn't it? You see, for men, we primarily use the right side of the brain and not the left. But for you ladies, you generally access both sides of the brain on a regular basis. And because of this, men tend to be more compartmental in their thinking. This is why when you ask us, honey, did you think about me today? We actually have to pause to think. It's not that we didn't. In fact, we're sure that we did. We just have to remember what compartment it took place in. And this is why you ladies have what's called women's intuition. Since you access both sides of the brain, you're more spatial in your thinking and you're able to sense things that we men are generally clueless about. For instance, the husband and wife are sitting in the living room relaxing while the kids are in bed. The husband is reading the paper and suddenly the wife says, honey, I think something's wrong with the kids. And what do we say, ladies? There's nothing wrong. I don't hear anything. But the wife senses something and goes into the room and sure enough, she finds the kids right in the middle of building a nuclear bomb. Nothing wrong with it, it just means we're different. Another one of our God-given psychological differences is that men tend to be emotionally insensitive, whereas women tend to be emotionally sensitive. For instance, a husband and wife can be driving down the road and see a dead cat, and the guy will think to himself, "Wow, that thing sure was bloated. Good thing I'm visually superior and didn't run over that cat, or it would have made a mess on the truck. Aha! I conquered that problem." But 5 miles down the road, the man hears his wife sobbing. Now he thinks she's got acute appendicitis or something. And he's actually half concerned but also half excited. Why? Because this might be another opportunity for him to conquer something. So he asks, "What's wrong?" And the wife sniffs and informs him, "It's Fluffy." And the guy asks, "Fluffy? Who's Fluffy?" And the woman says, "That was my favorite cat in the fifth grade." And the man, who has already compartmentalized the dead cat experience 5 miles back, has no clue what the woman is saying. So she tells him that she's crying because the dead cat 5 miles back reminded her of her dead cat, Fluffy, back in the fifth grade. And about that time the man begins to shed a tear. So the woman's heart begins to melt because she thinks he's showing sympathetic emotions for her dead cat, Fluffy. But in reality it has nothing to do with Fluffy. It's really because he's disappointed he doesn't get to drive to the hospital at high speed. Nothing wrong with it, it just means we're different. Another one of our God-given psychological differences is that men tend to communicate less with words, whereas women tend to communicate more. For instance, research has shown that little girls are the first to communicate using intelligible words, whereas little boys make unintelligible noises. Therefore, a little girl will take her dolly and will spend the day talking to her about her whole life, including stock options and a 401k plan. But a boy will take that same dolly and do what? That's right, he'll pop its head off and throw it like a hand grenade, saying, "Pow." And then take the body using it like a headless airplane running down the hall screaming, "Rear-ow." And ladies, if you have been paying attention, we men still make the same noises. For instance, you ask us, "How was your day, honey?" And we say, "Pow." Rear-ow. Same thing, isn't it? ? Nothing wrong with it, it just means we're different. Also, research has shown that men on average speak 12,000 words a day, whereas women speak 25,000 words a day. That explains some things, doesn't it? In fact, one lady heard this statistic and tried to justify it by saying, "Well, the reason why women use twice as many words as men is because we have to repeat everything we say." And her husband turned to her and said, "What?" Ladies, this is why when a man comes home after a hard day of conquering, he not only wants to rest, he usually doesn't talk much because he's already used up his 12,000 words for that day. But the wife, on the other hand, is just getting warmed up. She's got another 13,000 to go. Nothing wrong with it, it just means we're different. And finally, research has shown that men tend to discuss general facts, whereas women tend to discuss intimate feelings. For instance, women can generally get into an intimate conversation with another woman, even if it's a total stranger. But for most men, we'll hardly even talk to a stranger. After all, we've got to conserve part of our 12,000 words for when we get home. But generally, if we do get around to talking to another guy, it's usually short and straight to the point. This is why when ladies ask men how their day was, the response is an enlightening "good." But women want more detail than that, so they ask again, "No, really? How was your day?" By now, the woman is starting to get antsy because she's got 13,000 more words to go, and men kind of sense it, so we decide to conquer this conversation quota if it's the last thing we do. This time we don't say our day was just good, we say it was really good. Hey, that's a big step for us. Now people, do these differences sound familiar or what? Of course they do. Why? Because God made us male and female. He made us different on purpose. And half of our problems in marriage come from giving into the lie of this world of trying to change each other into something we're not. Give it up. It'll never happen. You're different by God's design. And believe it or not, this is great news. You see, God made men and women this way so they would become one flesh.
Matthew 19:5-6. For this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one. Therefore what God has joined together, let man not separate.
You see, our differences are not meant to conflict with each other, they're meant to complement each other.
Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, a friend sharpens a friend.
Folks, our differences are not meant to cut us down into a life of turmoil. They exist to sharpen us up into better people. This is why opposites attract. This is why God had us marry somebody totally different than ourselves. Why? Because the other person is sure to expose areas of weakness in ourselves that need to be worked on. It's like the guy who said if the Pope ever got married, he'd find out really fast that he's not infallible after all. And people, God didn't design marriage this way so we'd always be miserable. No. He knew that if we married somebody exactly like us, we'd never change, would we? We'd never be sharpened into a better person. Remember, our differences are not meant to conflict with each other, they're meant to complement each other. When Brandy and I finally learned to stop trying to change each other and instead accepted our God-given differences, we finally placed ourselves into a position to become one flesh. What we've noticed over the years is that I've taken on some of Brandy's characteristics and she's taken on some of mine. We're no longer the same two people as when we first got married. We're better people because we're different people. Rather than changing each other, we're starting to complement each other. We're starting to become one flesh. And folks, believe it or not, that's all part of God's plan for a strong and healthy marriage. Why? Because God made them male and female. So in light of this, are you ready for an action step? Here's what I want you to do. The next time you and your spouse are together, discuss what you just read, and repeat these words to each other. You are different, on purpose, therefore, you are not my enemy. What a revelation, huh? But it's the truth, folks. We're different by God's design. People of God, being married doesn't mean your life is always going to be filled with personal pain and silent suffering. God never said that it'd be easy. He just said it's going to take some time and lots of work. If we'll just acknowledge that men and women are different and stop trying to change each other into something we're not, then we're well on our way to having a marriage built to last.